Excited about that too. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, then we're going to jump in our study. Our Father, we come to you tonight to just let you know how much we appreciate all that you do for us. You're just so good to us, and you bless us. You watch out after us. You forgive us of our sins, and you cleanse us, and you most importantly, you save us by your precious blood. So God, thank you so much for the care that you have for us, and we pray that, ask you to forgive us of our sins, and many times we fail you. We pray for all those that are hurting, that we think about even right now, folks that are in the hospital, folks that are facing difficult decisions. Some have surgeries coming up, and some are just not only just battling physical issues, but because of all the last year of suffering, we know there's emotional damage there as well. We pray for those folks that just need to be reminded you're here, and it is good to be able just to get outside and be around other people. We're thankful for our Wednesday night dinners that brings that element back to the church that we can fellowship together and we can share with one another. And we're excited to continue our study in the book of Revelation. We know that it can be challenging and difficult at times, but God, we just want to take it at a steady pace, and we want to glorify you through all of it. And we just want to learn as we go. So we're praying, God, asking you to guide us, God, the study, that it will always lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And just be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is completely off subject, but I had a very interesting phone call at church today, and they left a message. I wasn't here. So as soon as I checked the message, I immediately called back. A man said, yeah, this is so-and-so up here in, I don't know if it's North Carolina or wherever it was, up here in North Carolina. I'm pastor. He said, I'm pastor so-and-so up here in North Carolina, and said, I had some people up that way and said, we noticed that you all are shutting down, and I just wanted to know about your building, what you're going to do with your buildings, because we're interested in branching out and starting a ministry there. You know, I had to call this guy back and find out what was going on. So I called him and told him how it was. I said, yeah, this is Pastor Dave down here at Richards Cove. I said, you left a message here, and I'm just responding to it. He said, oh, yeah, we had some folks up there and noticed you all were shutting down. Just want to talk to you about your property and your buildings. And I said, well, brother, I'm going to put it this way. The day we shut down is when the rapture happens. Until then, I said, we are in business and we're in full swing. And he just laughed. He thought, I don't know if maybe they saw the old building that's now the food pantry and thought, you know, we had relocated and had some, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I mean, for him to say, this is preacher so-and-so, we heard you're shutting down. I want to talk to you about your property. That fired me up. So we're going to stay around until the Lord comes back to get us, Lord willing. Speaking of that, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about the second coming. We're going to talk about a lot of different scripture. And I kind of think I know where most of y'all stand on this. I kind of think that we're all on the same side when it comes to the debate about the rapture versus second coming. So it's not like I'm sharing things that are going to be difficult for you or challenging to you. Pre-millennialists is very common around here. And the thing about me is that when I was a young man, I grew up under the doctrine of pre-trib, premillennial dispensationalists. I grew up under that. So it was easy for me to already adapt to that, I guess you might say. Or it was easy for me to say that's what I am. If somebody were to ask me, are you a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? I said, I'm pre-trib because that's the church I go to. That's what I grew up in. That's what I was taught. But as we get just a little bit of age on us, I think it's always important for us to have that individual search where you search out the Scripture. I don't want to believe something just because somebody tells me that. I want to have my beliefs and the doctrines that I have based on what I believe the Word of God says about something. So, that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump in. In Revelation chapter number, we finished up the letters. We're already done with the seven letters. We're going into chapter number 4. I'm just reading the first verse because this is important. Verse number 1 of chapter 4 says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the voice, and the first voice which I heard was, it was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. We know that's Jesus' voice. He's saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So he said, what's the book of Revelation about? He said, the book of Revelation is about things that have been, things that were or are, and things that shall be hereafter. So we've already been through the things that were, we've been through the things that are, and we are in the midst of the things that are right now in the church age. But now in chapter 4, we'll begin to talk about those things that are going to be hereafter. Those things that have not happened yet begin in verse number 1 of chapter 4. None of that's happened yet. All this stuff is going to be brand new. So I just kind of wrote this out in a question form, and I got some notes and some comments, so I'm just going to kind of go through it. Keep this in mind. I know a lot of you like to take notes, and I'm going to really make it easy for you. As I load these messages on Revelation, as I load them on the website, I think that's the only place you can get them. I don't think you can get them in the app. I'm not sure if it works that way. If you go to the website, rcbc.us, you click on Sermons, and you go to the series on Revelation. If you bring up any particular study, any of the night studies on Revelation, it has a document file down at the bottom. You click on it, you can download all of my notes that I have, all these hours of compiling Scripture and things. You can download those and have them for yourself. But if you like to just write down what verses we go to as we go, that's good too. Give you something to do. That way you won't fall asleep on me. So the first question is there a rapture? Is there a rapture? I'm going to say, yes, there is a rapture. And obviously we're going to go to the Scripture that talks about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And here's what it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be," and here's the phrase, "caught up." The word rapture is not in the Bible. We know that. So we don't have to defend the word rapture, but the event of what the word rapture means. It's short for basically saying caught up. In other words, I'm saying I believe in a gathering up. I believe in catching us up. When we say we believe in a rapture, that's what we're agreeing to, that we believe there's going to be a gathering up. So he said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Anybody that has any question whatsoever about the fact, is there a rapture? No one can deny this passage of Scripture. I don't care when you think the rapture is going to take place, but you got to believe there's going to be a rapture. To believe the Word of God, you have to agree there is a gathering up, because we just read about it. This is an event that's going to happen, going to take place. So nobody can argue with us or anyone about the fact that the Word of God describes a gathering up. I have another passage of Scripture that goes along with this and talks about a little more detail about what's going to happen. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53. And here's what Paul said. And I think it's interesting what he said too. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." I think it's interesting to note that what he said was, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Why is the word mystery important? What is a mystery? A mystery is something that we don't know what it is. A mystery is something that, as of to that moment, been unsolved or unknown. That's what a mystery is. You know, some people like a good mystery novel. It's because you don't know what's going to happen yet. So what Paul's saying in Corinthians, he's saying, "I'm going to show you a mystery, and I'm revealing something to you now that has not been revealed yet. I'm exposing something to you now and detailing it and expounding on something that wasn't given before. For instance, he's saying it wasn't given by Jesus prior to this. Now, we're going to get in a little bit of Matthew chapter number 24, which deals with the subject of Christ coming back in His second coming, and it deals with all events that are going to happen there. We're going to read a lot of those scriptures as we sort through some of these questions and notes. But keep in mind, the rapture is not dealt with in Matthew chapter 24, because that's not really the questions Jesus was answering to those disciples. Because why did Jesus not elaborate on this rapture? Because the church didn't exist yet. The church wasn't here yet. So until their mind, well, I'm going to go ahead and say that their minds weren't ready for what they were getting already from Jesus. Their minds sure wasn't ready to talk about these end time events. So Jesus shared what the end time events were going to mean for Israel. And He shared how it's going to affect them as a nation, because these young men were still young. They were uneducated. They were ignorant. They didn't know the scriptures well. They didn't know all the things Jesus was trying to teach them. So He had to relate to them to a certain degree about the nation of Israel. So that's why Paul said in Corinthians, I'm showing you a mystery now. I'm showing you something you don't know before. You don't understand this, but there's going to be something that's going to happen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to be immediately changed. And so that ties in to Thessalonians, that same event of the rapture, the gathering up. These go hand in hand because Paul describes what happens when we're gathered up, when we're caught up, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be changed. We're going to be translated. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. We're going to be transformed into the image of Christ. We're going to have a body fashioned after Christ's own body. So, to answer the first question, is there a rapture? Absolutely, without doubt, there is a rapture. There is a gathering up. There is a being caught up, because it's proven in the Word of God. Now, the next question we got to ask is the rapture the same thing as the second coming? Or is it different? My belief is that they're different events, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time, because to me, this is the bulk of the controversy regarding the rapture versus the second coming. If you have folks that believe that the rapture and the second coming are the same event, or you have folks that believe that the rapture is going to be mid-trib or whatever, then you've got all this debate and all this discussion. So what I want to do is I want to dissect the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The second coming is documented well in the Word of God. There's absolutely no question to what the Word's talking about in Revelation chapter number 19, beginning in verse number 11. Revelation 19, beginning verse number 11. He said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming in glory. It's documented. It's in the book of Revelation. It's in a specific time period as to when this event's going to happen. So we know that at the end of the tribulation period, this is what's going to happen. As we read through the book of Revelation, we get to that point in chapter 19. We see all these events of the terrible great tribulation take place. And at the very end of it, Christ comes back on a white horse, dressed in white, with a sword, ready to fight, ready for battle. And all those saints come back with him, and all of them will be mounted on white horses as well. Also, we have, tying into this same second coming passage, Matthew chapter 24. Because it's talked about in Matthew 24, verse number 29 through 31. Here's what Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, which, okay, there we go. We know what he's talking about. First is the tribulation. Once the tribulation, then he's going to tell us in Matthew 24 what happens next. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There you go. That's the glorious second coming of Christ when he comes back in all of his glory. There's no reason to doubt that Matthew 24 and chapter 19 of Revelation are not the same event. They're the same event. They're describing the same thing. Matthew gives us a time period of this second coming being after the tribulation, and so does the book of Revelation. It goes through all the series of events leading up to the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ comes back. Now what I want to do is I want to look at the contrast between the second coming and the rapture. And it's certain events that you've already noted, a lot of them are different. And when we read Thessalonians and we read Revelation 19, there are a lot of things that don't match up. So that's kind of what I want to do here. I want to bring these points to light so that we can understand just a little bit more. When we read in Thessalonians, I'm not going to read it again for time, but when we look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18, it talks about Christ coming back for the church. Also, when we read John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, it says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So again, we just see the fact that Christ is saying, I'm going away, but I'm not staying away. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to bring you to a place where I'm at. So again, that just ties into the same concept of the gathering up, of being caught up, of the rapture of the church that we find in Thessalonians. In those verses and several others, that we're not going to take time to divulge all of those, but he lets us know that there is an event in the Bible that Christ is coming back to get his people. And it's important to note that. He's coming back to get his people. When we read in Revelation chapter number 19, he's not coming back to get his people or not coming back for his people. He is coming back with his people. That's a big difference. Read in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. He said, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," listen to this, "with all his saints." So he's coming back with all of his saints. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 5 said, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all of his saints with thee. So he's talking about the tribulation period, and he's talking about Christ coming back in the second coming, and he again is going to come back with all his saints. It's important to note that there's an event where Christ is coming back to get his church. There's another event when he's coming back with his church. Two distinct. I don't know that you can come with somebody and come for somebody at the same time. It's impossible to do, isn't it? All right, we also read on some more verses that tie to the fact of him coming back with his saints. Jude 1:14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And in Revelation 19 and verse 14 says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." So who's that going to be? He's not talking about angels, because we find prior to that the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we'll read some of that too. We're going to be all over the place. That those who have part in the marriage supper of the Lamb are clothed in fine white linen. Who is that? Is that angelic beings? No, it's not angelic beings. It's us. It's the church. It's the believers in Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are going to be a part of that beautiful marriage supper. We're the ones that are going to be able to come back with Him on white horses. You know, I've joked about that before. I hope that you're not afraid of horses, because you may be afraid of them down here, but when you're there, you won't. It'd be just like petting a little puppy dog, because we're going to be able to ride those white horses back down with Him. I mean, He said it in His Word, so I choose to believe it. So there we go. We have one distinction of Him coming for His church in one event. We have another of Him coming with His church. So there's two differences between the rapture and the second coming. Next is, Jesus is going to be in the air at the rapture, at this gathering up or being caught up. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." It's important. It's important to know these details, that when Christ comes back in the rapture, the gathering up of His believers and followers, He's going to appear in the clouds, and all of us are going to rise from here and be caught up and gathered together to be with the Lord forever. We're going to go up to meet them. It says absolutely nothing about Christ coming down and touching foot on ground or coming down to be among people. He said, we will go up to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus, however, in a different event, which is the second coming in glory, is going to touch down. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4 says this, "And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave to the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." His feet will touch upon the Mount of Olives when He returns in the second coming. Revelation 19:21 says, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of Him that sat upon the horse, which sword pierced proceeded out of His mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." I don't think Jesus is going to be flying around in the clouds and fighting a battle with a sword, with the word of His mouth, from the distance of the clouds. To tie in with Zechariah and other scriptures that bring Him down here for that event of the Battle of Armageddon, He's going to be down here on earth. All of us saints are coming with Him. We're not really coming to fight. We're just coming to watch. Because it says He is going to destroy those enemies that oppose Him with the word of His mouth. And He's going to speak, and His words will be as a burning flame and a piercing sword. So He's going to come down. He's going to touch the earth. Two distinct beliefs. So we have to have, again, two separate events that take place. He can't remain in the clouds and then also be down on the earth. Next is, one is going to be very quick, and only those believers will see Him. That's going to be the rapture, the gathering up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 says this, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 1 John 3:2 says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." When Christ comes back, He talked about all of us that believe in Him are going to be gathered up and caught up into the clouds. We're going to see Him, and those that see Him will be transformed into the image of Christ. We'll have similar body, which means a glorified body. We're not going to have the same mind of Christ. We're not going to be equal to Christ, but our bodies will not be these bodies of flesh that depend upon blood to flow through the body and depend upon oxygen into the lungs to survive. No, we're going to have a body fashioned after Christ's body. He said when Jesus came and appeared to the disciples, and He wanted to prove to them that it was actually Him, what did He say? I think it's interesting to note what He said. He said, "Look at me, flesh, I have flesh and blood just as you have." come and fill me. So what Christ said, did not say was blood. After Jesus was resurrected, he did not say he had blood, but he said, flesh and bones I have. He didn't say anything about blood. Why? Because he's in a glorified state. There's no need to sustain a physical body with blood anymore in a glorified state. We don't have to have. What is blood considered? The life source of the body, right? Without blood, what's going to happen to you? It's over, right? So blood is the life source. We don't have to have blood in a glorified body. When we have a body like Christ, we are sustained by Him. So I think that's beautiful. I think that's interesting. But it's going to be quick. He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkle of an eye? That's fast. You want me to run around the church 5 times real quick? Let me do it again. That's how fast a twinkling of an eye is. It is so fast. I don't know that anybody can actually register how fast that is. And I don't know why he wanted to make it so fast. I just think it's cool. Maybe that's just a God thing. But he said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I had somebody that did a little scientific research, and I don't know if he just lining us out and coming up with some kind of story or whatever, but he did say that a twinkle is like faster, 20 times faster than a blink. So blink your eyes real quick. Just blink your eyes once. That's pretty fast, isn't it? And so what he was saying was a twinkle is 20 times faster than a blink. So I don't care how fast it is. I just know this. It's going to be a pretty quick event. You know, some people say, well, when I'm raptured out and I'm flying up, I'm going to fly over so-and-so's house and drop rocks on it, you know, or I'm going to fly by over here and, you know, I'm going to enjoy the flight up. No, you're not. Because it's going to be so fast. You literally are going to be here and gone in an instant. We're going to be there in a moment in twinkling of an eye. We're going to be there. We're going to be changed. We're going to be with Jesus. So this is going to be a very quick event. And only those that believe in Christ, those eyes are going to be open. And we're going to see Him as He is. He's not going to allow Himself to be embraced or saw by the rest of the world. This is a separate event, isolated event for those that believe in Jesus, because we're going to be translated. The dead in Christ before us are going to be resurrected. So there's a lot of stuff happening, but it's going to happen so fast. We could literally be standing here talking about it and just boom, we could all be gone and up there. Are we going to come out of our shoes? Are we going to, you know, the stories and the images of a pile of clothes laying? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, your guess is as good as mine on all that stuff. I just know that I'm going. I don't know that my old T-shirt has to make its way into heaven because it's, you know, it's not real wonderful, you know. But my shoes are about wore out, so they probably ain't going to go. So I get the fact that maybe we're going to leave behind those things. But I believe instantly we're not only going to be translated into the image of Christ, but I believe instantly we're going to be clothed in fine white linen. I think we're going to immediately have a whole new garment. There's no reason for me to take these old clothes to heaven, right? I have some new clothes coming up when I get into heaven. All right, so we've lingered there too long. It's going to be quick, and it's going to be only for those that believe in Christ. So in opposition, we're going to have an event in the second coming where everybody's going to see Him. I mean, when He comes down, according to the second coming in glory, and He's going to fight these armies, everybody's going to be there and see. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says this, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. I think it's interesting here that he's talking about the people that pierced him. He's saying he's not talking about saved people. He's talking about unsaved people, ungodly people. Those are the ones that are going to see him in this return. Again, we're distinguishing the fact there have to be two separate events take place. Also, in that same thought of his return and eyes beholding him, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 30 says this, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Everybody's going to see Him. Again, we have a separate event from the gathering up. Revelation 1 and verse 7 says this, "Behold, He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." I know we have words like "in the clouds," which seem to parallel a little bit about the rapture, but as we break down these scriptures, we see that there are similarities. Listen, if Christ is going to come down here and He's going to appear in the clouds or be among the clouds, or whether He's going to come down here and put His foot on the earth, guess where He has to go? He has to come through the clouds. Amen? You got to go from up to down. So even though it's two separate events, the similarity of being among the clouds or through the clouds, it's still two separate events, even though He may take the same. And that's just how they choose to describe it. All right, the next is this. Christians will be taken out. When the rapture takes place, when the gathering up of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, He is going to get all those that believe in Him, and we will be taken out. That's important. Why? Because when we talk about the second coming in glory, the believers and saved people are not the ones that are going to be taken out. They will remain. The wicked will be taken out and cast into outer darkness because they're the ones that are going to be slain in the battle. Matthew 13 and verse 30 says this, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn." So He said, I want you to gather the tares first, bundle them up and throw them in the fire and get rid of them. So what's left is the great harvest, and I want you to gather up the wheat and then put it into my barns. Luke 17, verse 34 through 37 say this, "I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in a field, and one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered Him and said unto Him, where, Lord?" And He said, because they asked the question, they're saying, If there's going to be two people in the field, one's going to be taken, one's going to be left, we look in this passage in Luke, and it's very similar to Matthew chapter 24. We say, oh, well, He's talking about the rapture here. This is at the end of the tribulation period. It's after the tribulation period. So He's got to be talking about the rapture here because He's talking about one being left and one being taken. But Jesus in Luke, they ask Him, they say, but where, Lord? And He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. This is not a gathering of the elect into heaven. This is a destruction of lives that oppose Christ, and carcasses will be laying everywhere for the fowls of the air to eat on. And I'm telling you something, the Battle of Armageddon is going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible sight. I don't know if the world has ever seen such a bloodbath in our history as what will be when Christ comes back in His second coming and He stands against the nations of the world that oppose Him, and He lays them down with the sword of His mouth and destroys them. Blood to the bridle's manes, the Scripture talks about. Talk about an event. I don't know how long it's going to be, and you know, this is something else to talk about as we get a little bit farther on. Of disposing of those bodies and all those carcasses and letting the blood filter away. I mean, this is a grotesque scene, but that's what we're talking about here. And that's how we see these differences. He's not coming to gather up in the righteous people in the second coming. No, the righteous people are in heaven. Those that remain on the earth in the tribulation that are righteous, they will remain. He's coming to wipe out and gather up and destroy those that oppose Him, according to Luke chapter 17, 34 through 37. So there again, one instance He's coming to get those saints and believers. The other instance, He's coming to gather up the tares and get rid of them. A few more things to just make quick note of here. In the rapture, Jesus descends with a shout. In the second coming, no shout is mentioned. I know some of these things are a little bit more, you say, well, you're kind of reaching a little bit here, preacher. Well, not necessarily. I'm just wanting to share everything that I have to let you know the distinctions between the two. I do get this. I do get that you could have two different people. You know, we could have Alan Jashar that could both describe this flower pot here. And even though both of them are describing the same thing, they could write different aspects about it. And perhaps one might leave out some parts that the other one does. So I understand that we can have some events that are just not mentioned in the Word of God. But I think as we've looked already at this as a whole, there is a distinct difference in a gathering up and when Christ comes back in glory. And just another event that is different is the fact that the rapture has a descent with a shout, and there's no mention of a shout in the second coming. The rapture deals with a resurrection of the saved. The second coming deals with no resurrection. Zero resurrection is mentioned. I mean, if it's going to describe the fact that Jesus is going to be on a white horse, he's going to have a vesture dipped in blood, he's going to have a name that nobody knows, he's going to have a sword in his hand, and all the saints from the four corners of heaven are going to be gathered together, going to come with him. We're going to be in fine white linen, and we're going to be on horses as well. If he's going to describe as much in detail about that, you would think if there's a resurrection taking place at the second coming, that might be noteworthy. But there's no resurrection that's mentioned. But in the gathering up of the saints in Thessalonians, we see, yes, there's a resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then which are alive and remain shall be caught together and meet with him in the air. In the rapture, Jesus appears in the clouds, and in the second coming, Jesus comes on the white horse. I don't know about you, but if I'm writing down something about what I see Jesus doing, I'm probably not going to miss a big white horse if he's on one. Or if he's not on one, I'm probably not going to write he's on a white horse. So again, I know this is a detail, but it's an important detail. It's important for us as believers in Christ to understand as much as we can about these end time events. I know some folks say, well, some people just take it too far. They just get in there in Revelation, man, and they stay there and they just pick about this and they pick about that and pick about this. When if we believe we're not going to be here, what's the big deal? Well, he said, blessed are those that read this book. Blessed are those that hear this book. Blessed are those that study this book. It's important for us because I think to me as a Christian, the more I study it, it gives me hope. I get excited. I'm thankful that I'm not going to have to endure the tribulation. I don't believe I'm going to. I believe I'm going to be gathered up before. And so I'm thankful the fact that I'm going to be prevented a lot of those things. I'm thankful for what Christ has prepared for us. I'm thankful for the events that are going to happen during the tribulation. If we're not here, we're up what we're doing for those 7 years. What's going to happen when we come back with Him and watch Him take over and establish His kingdom for those 1,000 years as He reigns. And the new heaven, new earth, are just so many wonderful things to consider as we study. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there because I've got some tons more that we're going to share about distinguish between the rapture and the second coming. But I've got some charts. I've got some other scriptures that are kind of contained. So I don't want to get into them and have to cut it off short. So we'll stop right there. Amen. Was that good? Was that okay? I didn't go too fast, didn't too slow, kind of. It wasn't in the twinkling of an eye, was it? We went kind of somewhere. Okay, good deal. All right, so we will, I think we're supposed to have business meeting. I don't know if Terry and Tara are back here somewhere. We'll maybe see if they roll in. If not, maybe we won't have business meeting. We'll see. But we'll have a word of prayer. We'll check on that, and then we'll let you guys go. Brother Alan, if you will, close us out with prayer.